I sat at a booth in the Coral Cafe. It was after 3 in the morning, and I was the only one in sight. I wrapped my hands around a steaming mug of sleepy time tea and peered into the fathomless black depths beyond the glass dome of the restaurant. A ghostly reflection peered back at me, illuminated by the pale silver light radiating from the jellyfish-shaped light fixture hanging over my booth. It took a moment for me to recognize the face staring back at me as my own. "You look like hell, Logan," I mumbled to myself. My cheeks were craggy with pockmarks from bits of glass and shrapnel injuries sustained during the Screecher's invasion. I'd grown a thick, vaguely trimmed black beard, partly out of neglect and partly to conceal some of the damage. There were 2 haunted black holes where my eyes should have been. Puffy bags and dark circles hung underneath. I looked like I'd aged a decade in the 6 months since coming to Haven. I felt like it, too. Not getting enough sleep wasn't helping matters. My family and I were among the privileged few who got to live here in Akron Massey's private shelter, Haven Colony, the eye in a gathering storm of invading aliens and plunging global temperatures. The rogue star had come and gone. It had dragged Earth out to an orbit 124 million miles from the sun, a 31 million mile detour that caused massive tidal waves and Arctic conditions in the higher latitudes as the planet was pulled in its wake. Somehow we had survived it all. The invading alien machines we called Screechers, other refugees trying to kill us, the frigid weather, and even the rising tides as we fled New Orleans in a leaky submersible bound for Haven. Now, 6 months later, with all of that behind us, we should have been resting easy. The trouble was, something, or rather someone, was missing. Alex, my teenage son, wasn't here. A flashback tore through my mind's eye. Me watching from the conning tower of Akron Massey's submarine as Alex and his girlfriend, Celine Hartford, leaned over a wooden dock to help her parents climb back up. Instead, they got swept in by the next wave, and Akron Massey took us down before I could go after them. Minutes later, I watched on the periscope as a hovering Screecher disc reached into the water with tentacle-like arms and carried my son, his girlfriend, and her family away to parts unknown. I winced as a painful knot constricted my throat, and a deep ache radiated in my chest. I rubbed tired, scratchy eyes and squeezed my hands into fists. 6 months. 6. I couldn't believe that we'd been trapped in here with Alex out there for half a year already. We were lounging in an underwater paradise of good food, warmth, running water, and working lights while he was probably struggling just to survive. If he was even alive. A painful lump rose in my throat, and tears welled up in my eyes. No, I couldn't give up hope, not until I knew for sure what had happened to Alex. The Screechers weren't hell-bent on exterminating us, so they wouldn't have killed Alex or the Hartfords. They'd probably just deported them like they had with everyone else. So long as we respected their borders at 35 degrees north and 35 degrees south, we were free to share the planet with them. Unfortunately, that left the human population of Earth out in the cold, forced to share dwindling resources with untold millions of displaced refugees. I'd only seen the first few days of the exodus as the Screechers drove everyone north, but by now all of Mexico and Central America had probably been emptied into the northern states as well. How many people were there in Mexico and Central America? 100 million? 200 million? My bet was in the higher number. Even 6 months didn't seem like enough time to relocate that many people. But maybe the Screechers had spent that time mass-producing more of their flying, disc-shaped aircraft.